This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Hebrews 13:5 and 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?
Welcome back. You're listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and the News Radio 1440 app. 860-1440 are the numbers. We got a couple lines open if you want to jump in. And we also have it to where you can tweet us anytime you want to at Tactics Radio. That's at Tactics Radio. That's the Twitter handle. Let's go ahead and go to Ben on line one. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Caleb. You know, just when I thought I've heard the most idiotic thing, the next day there's something else. Here we go with that, the Rubio attack. Look, let's look at this. The kid was mentally ill. He refused to take medication. The police were called 39 times to his home. His mother just died, her adopted mother, in November. His father died sometime before that. Someone called in to the FBI, gave them the information. The FBI dropped the ball because they're too busy running out, investigating imaginary crimes, trying to, you know, get Trump instead of going after real criminals and real, you know, information. I mean, that person called in that information.
You know, you've obviously studied this a lot. You came up with the details just as quickly as I would be able to, so impressed with that. But I will say, the FBI was not so busy worried about Trump that they missed this, because, you know, that was a field office. They're, you know, unconnected to that.
Exactly.
So that didn't have anything to do with it. However, the fact that the FBI dropped the ball ought to be concerning to everybody, regardless of what side of the debate you fall on.
Yeah, and now they're bashing the deputy sheriff. He didn't go in. There was only one of him. We don't know what police protocol is. We don't know if he was waiting for backup. We don't know if he was told not to go in. He didn't know how many shooters there were. See, people are now bashing this guy, poor guy. I mean, well, I don't know. You know, it's nuts.
Here's the issue with this, and this actually just came out this morning. There was a member of the Florida House, I believe it was Florida Speaker of the House, that said, based on the information that he's gotten, this shows a complete advent failure on all fronts, I think is the words that he used. And there's really no other way to classify it. I mean, from local authorities who, like you said, came and visited 39 times, to the people like the FBI, they tell you about see something, say something. Well, a lot of people saw things and a lot of people said things, and nobody did anything about it. See something, say something only works if somebody does something.
Yeah,
about
it's idiocracy at its peak. I'm serious, you know. Come on, people. You know.
All right. Well,
it is getting nuts.
Yeah, like, it really is, and there's no common sense left, and that's part of the problem that we're running into.
And not just yes, the whole world has lost their common sense and morals, and I don't know. It's nuts. You know, I pray for them. That's all I can do. You know.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate your call. Always good to hear from you, and this just kind of goes to what Ben was saying, that we've gotten so caught up in, I think, a lot of things that don't matter, that maybe we're missing some things that really do matter that could have prevented this. And I'm not even necessarily talking about law enforcement. I'm talking about the way that we teach our kids, the emphasis on morality. I'm not saying that it would have stopped every mass shooting, because I don't believe that. But you look at the way that our society was run and the way that our society treated one another and the responsibility that we believed that we had for others and our belief in God, our faith, that was a big part of it. And then you look at the way we are now. Didn't have any mass shootings back then, even though just about every redneck had a rifle in his truck because he just came from hunting that morning. I mean, there's no telling how many guns were on school campuses back then, and nobody ever shot anybody. Every kid had a pocket knife in his pocket. Nobody ever stabbed anybody. And then you fast forward to today, where we have all these restrictions and all these levels of bureaucracy that are supposed to prevent things like this, and it doesn't do any good because the first line of defense is a civil society, and we've lost a lot of that. Let's go to this one clip from Dana Lash. Dana Lash is a representative from the NRA, And she used to be a commenter on The Blaze. She used to have her own radio show. Dana Loesch is one of the smartest women in politics, I think. And she just absolutely, I want to say before I even go into this, that woman is a rock. I mean, you want to talk about a strong, empowered woman? It's Dana Loesch. Because she went into there and she said, had I not had a security escort with me, I would not have made it out of the building. I mean, there were this was like a lynch mob, and there were people charging the stage. They were ready to actually inflict harm on her. And we'll get into this in just a second, but some of the names that she was called, things that they shouted at her, I have a great respect for Dana Loesch. You can listen to the crowd in the background shouting, shame on you, burn her, murderer. She said at one point, one person yelled out, see you next Tuesday. So just all kinds of horrible slurs. You already heard the one kid that said that she doesn't care about her children. There's another person, we won't get into this clip because there were too many that I had to get to, but there was another person that asked her a question that basically said that I would protect your children better than you were. Believe me, anybody shows up at Dana Loesch's house looking for trouble, they're going to be literally looking down the barrel of a gun. I would not want to mess with Dana Loesch at all. But anyway, here's what goes on Wednesday night. This is Sheriff Scott Israel, who's the sheriff of the county there. And Dana Loesch talking about this. Listen to this exchange, clip two.
Be mentally ill. We need the power to take every firearm they have away from them and bring them to a mental health facility.
39 visits did not meet that standard. 39 visits, assaulting students, assaulting parents, taking bullets and knives to school. Did that not meet that standard?
Well, which are you speaking about specifically? You seem to know about all 39.
Well, I know there's one Florida statute where if he's sending messages threatening to kill people, that right there under Florida state law.
Who did he send the message to kill people to?
BuzzFeed, AP, Reuters, Yahoo News, reported that to other students.
Who is the victim?
It was sent to other students.
Dana, Reuters can't be a victim. The only person who could be a victim is an individual.
If an individual
was threatened and it was real, that's a crime. But if he's posting things...
They were threatened with death. They were threatened that they were going to bleed. They were threatened that they were going to be killed.
Well, what's your specific case?
And he had already taken bullets and knives to school. He had already assaulted people. He assaulted his parent. He assaulted other students. 39 visits. And this was known to the intelligence and law enforcement community. I'm not saying that you can be everywhere at once, but this is what I'm talking about. We have to follow up on these red flags.
You're not the litmus test.
Doesn't that meet the standard?
You're absolutely not the litmus test for how law enforcement should follow up. You're wrong. There weren't 39 visits. Some of them, they were GOA. Some of them called from other states. To say there were 39 visits, I don't know where you got those facts, but you're completely wrong.
Did they report it inaccurately?
They reported it inaccurately, but if you're going to stand up in front of a national audience, you shouldn't rely on a media...
This is what I'm asking.
Okay, so it goes on like that for a little bit, but there were 39 visits, and this is the point that Dana Loesch was making. It makes no sense to say that the only thing that could have prevented this was more restrictions on guns, when the laws that were in place, had they been followed, would have prevented it. Law enforcement on all sides, unfortunately, dropped the ball here. And that's the point that she's making. And he's trying to back up and, frankly, cover his own butt, cover his own department's tail. Where he says, well, fake news. You weren't, that's not true. No, not 39 visits. And then she gives him four sources from the mainstream media, but here's a source that she didn't give. You know who else reported that there were 39 visits? CNN. Actually put a picture of it up on the Twitter feed, Tactics Radio, if you want to take a look at it. It was on their website. And so here's my question. As much as I like Jake Tapper, where were you on this? I remember back in the presidential debates, especially when somebody just said something wasn't true or called into question someone's claim, y'all did some fact-checking, which y'all should have done. That was really productive. I liked having that aspect of it. Where were you last night? They couldn't come in and say to the sheriff, there were 39 visits. We reported that. We confirmed it with several other sources. No, none of that. Completely dropped the ball here. Really disappointed in CNN and Jake Tapper for this. And here's another thing, too. Why is the crowd booing that response? Even if the crowd's a pro-gun control crowd, which, I mean, they obviously were if you watched any portion of this. Even if the crowd is a pro-gun control crowd, what's wrong with saying we should have followed the law and had law enforcement done their job and taken these 39 red flags into consideration and said, maybe we need to do something about this guy? I mean, a threat is something that you can put someone in jail for. And Dana apparently knows the Florida laws better than this guy, or at least on this subject, because it's obvious that she's researched. And it's his defense is so bad from a rhetorical standpoint. He goes in and he keeps saying name specifics as she's naming specifics. It's kind of like that kid that when you said name one instance of, and then you name off three or four, and they're like, well, I said name one. I mean, the sheriff is just so mind-numbingly bad at this. And I get that he's a sheriff. This isn't what he does for a living. But the fact that he just gets absolutely obliterated and doesn't realize it, to me, is, I mean, it shows how ill-informed he is on his own case and his own department. I mean, you would have thought that he would have at least prepared for that, or prepared for that response. Because if I were running a department that messed up and we had visited this person 39 times, I believe that I would have already had a response to that planned out in my head. But in this crowd, all he has to say is, we need more gun control, and then they shout and cheer and applaud and stand up. And so I guess maybe he thought, because that's the environment that he was going into, he didn't really have to prepare because he's going to get applause regardless. And this is what's the issue with me. Dana Loesch is not even talking about gun control in this. All she's saying is law enforcement should have done their job, and she's getting booed by the crowd. That's what I don't get about this. Even if you're super pro-gun control, I don't get why you're booing the fact that there were markers here that should have been followed up on. All right, before we go to our last segment, I've got one more clip from Dana Loesch at this town hall that I want to go over, which is really, it goes right back to the Second Amendment, and we're going to talk about a little bit of the history and the importance of the Second Amendment off of that. But before we do, I want to go to my good friend Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. These guys are experts in their field. You want to talk about somebody that is prepared? They're prepared for whatever you can throw at them, whether it's you just need an oil change, you need your tires rotated, or major engine repair. You need to go down, see my friends at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. They can handle whatever it is that you throw at them. And here's the deal. Because they are prepared, you can be better prepared. Nobody wants to be stuck on the side of the road with a broken down car. I know that I'm about to take a vacation. Many of you are probably planning this. Spring break's coming up for some local schools. Beat the rush. Go ahead. Get your car checked out. Make sure everything's running properly. Go ahead. You know, you may need that 3,000-mile oil change. Go by and see my friends at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center so that you will be ready for whatever happens to you. Because keep in mind, when it comes to your car, it needs to be operating the way that it's supposed to in order to assure your safety and the safety of your family and the safety of other drivers on the road. So be responsible. Go by, see them, make sure everything is running correctly. If you've got that check engine light or whatever, they can fix that. Don't worry. Go by and tell them what's going on at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center on the Troy Highway right here in Montgomery. We will be right back.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt. Every weekday from 9 to 11, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.